he helped him have a job years ago. She's a black, you know, and that, and then Jews, and then you say he hates Jews, but his son-in-law is a Jew whom he trusts. He sends his son-in-law to travel on trips that they ought to send a diplomat. The boy is a Jew. And then the actual things he has done with Jews does not show he hates them. But you say he hates them because you're trying to anger people against him. Like I always say, if you have to lie against someone to prove a point, you're a bad person. It's like people have accused us, okay? So, sorry, I mentioned this the other day. Sorry, it's just a good example. We haven't been accused of many things. Or if we have, I haven't heard. And I don't care. But, you know, we once heard it a long time ago. And recently we heard that someone had said it. That people believe it. That they came to this church group and we had candles all around on the ground in a circle. Not once have we used a candle, ever. In fact, Nepal has not, there are times we didn't have a gen. We used phone touch in a normal way because we didn't care to extort money or push up. Nobody stood up and said, the Lord spoke to me that one of you donate a generator. We've never. So at most, we've used our phone. We've had meetings, prayer meetings where we on our phone. Or we get a lamp. And someone said they came and we had candles and we're sitting on the ground and humming. That you have to fabricate such a statement and then you say it. You're a bad person. Or at worst, you have demons of lies. Why would you need to lie? Why can't you look for something we actually do? Like, they stay long, go. The sin of staying long. They don't have order of service. They don't have an order of service. Imagine that in this 21st century. Imagine that. Even me, I'm wondering. Imagine that. I agree with you. The sin of no agenda. They sing new songs. Brand new songs. And no songbook. Okay, they have a project. Well, leave that. No songbook. No hymn book. The sin of not having a hymn book. And creating a new song on the spot. Downloading songs from heaven. The sin of downloading. Please accuse us of what we have done. If you have to sit down and create a lie, you are not a good person. In the same way, I have said it many times, don't lie even against Satan. You can't lie against the devil. You can't open your mouth and say, the devil gave me a wife. Can't. He did not. Stop it. Satan has a right to go to the court of heaven and win against you. And he likely will. And that's the source of most of people's problems. The devil goes and accuses them before the Father, and the Father grants his wish because you lied against him. You have sinned by lying, by saying it was the devil when it was not the devil. There are things the devil has done, but there are things he has not done. In the same way, don't lie against anybody. The moment you have to tell lies against someone to prove something, it means you have no case. All right, so, sorry, you're going to finish that, but the answer to your question is this. If both of them are brand new people that have never occupied any office, never done anything to, nobody knows, like Obama, that had never been known to do anything. The only things he had done, some of them, were to support bad laws in Congress as a senator. Yes, if you know the kinds of things he had supported before he became president. But to find anything, Obama has never managed anything. Obama never headed a company. Didn't go to war. That is, he had nothing in his resume. I'm giving you a classic example, and I'm using the one that you'll be guilty. So you know how it works. He had never proven himself. He had not been tested. Or even if he had been tested, he didn't pass well. He hadn't proven himself in the activities he had carried out. And then you made him president from the color of his skin. Emotions is our brother. So the Bible says you should use the antecedents, okay? This government, as a fact, I mean, the people from the president's area know and say, why do they call him my Gaskia and all that? Because they call him man of integrity. He's known for being nice and having integrity. He's known. His village, those that know him, I've heard many non-Hausa people, non-Fulani, I mean, Igbos, not many, a few, Igbos and different people comment. People that have worked with him personally. Far back then, I told you last week the story about during the Biafran war, when they caught Biafran soldiers, and instead of him saying shoot them, he fed them. He took them to the store and told them to supply them with food and sent, made sure they returned those Biafran soldiers. Who does that in war? gave them food. And the people that were telling these stories, Weibos, giving them jobs, people he didn't know. I'm talking about in the 70s, 80s. People that have worked with him in his office said that this man is like this, he's like that, except he bribed them, gave them money to come and lie. But I watched it, I think, on AIT. And the things he was saying, they were saying, were true words about kindness, about fairness, about assisting people without ever demanding anything. That's his antecedent. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? You don't like this? Okay. You like this? Oh. Oh, why do you answer now? I had something else to say. You guys, now to put some sense to what you got. I was going to hit you with something soon. It was a setup, but you have spoiled it. All right. He has antecedents. Since my heart is good and I wanted to know what was real, God made sure I heard those things. I watched those things. Me that didn't used to watch TV. God will make me, for those 2 minutes, to be in front of a TV. And a former Igbo ambassador is talking. A former Igbo this. An ordinary someone that was with him in his army school, his army college. I remember during elections, you know, in 2015, and they'll say, explosion, they'll show, who used to see that explosion thing they'll show on TV, on AIT? Bam! By the time you watch it, you're like, oh God, we are finished in Nigeria. And they brought out thing after thing that they say he did. Who, anyone, did you watch it? Many, a list of things. And after a long time, I think his campaign team finally responded. They will say the lie, and they will say the truth. And they were responding, but many Nigerians, I don't know. Again, I think people are bad. When you're bad, you get what you want. They responded, oh, that he made soldiers throw Awolowo's mother out of the window. How many of you heard this? Ha! All sorts of stories. And they pointed out he was not even president when it happened. Or how he seized this person's passport. The man was not even president. And you're accusing him of something that happened in another government's time. Lies, lies, lies. And I saw it and I went, oh no, this is too bad. How can you tell so many lies? That's the more reason I went like, I think, see, when I say God spoke to me about Buhari, he did in visions of the night, okay? He gave me revelations. From 2003, but mainly 2011, 2014. I've read some of it here. I've read about Buhari is dead. I saw that in 2014. He was not even sick. The whole Buhari is dead saga that happened in 2017, I had seen that. I have it on record. I had documented it already. So God showed me things. God showed me he wanted him to be president. God told me. It was clear. So I was in shock. But I am not coming from that angle because you can say it was you that God told. God didn't tell me. So forget my visions. Forget my dreams. Can we just go with what the person has been known to do? And forget for a second what your mother and father and your village people say. What has he actually done? If he has done the things that he is known to have done for real, then he's a good person. Compared to those others, by far, he's a far better person. By far. There's no comparison with the people, at least Atiku. Now, what is Atiku's antecedent? What has he been known to do? A former customs official. He has done what all customs officials do and has done more. Stolen, robbed, been a thief, done bad things for years. Officially, by his boss, his former boss, all by different people. Not now. It's not now. I don't know what they are saying about him now because I'm not following the news. Long, when he was vice president. Look, how can he be so stinking rich? Based on what? Does he have a money printing machine? Officially, he has handled your ports that are generating billions now. He handled it and would turn over a few millions, paltry millions, and pocket all the rest of a country's money. It's official. It's not secret. It's not a false accusation. It's a fact. He's known to have been stealing and stealing and stealing as long as he has been doing anything. Why do you look at a thief? Well, have you read Psalm 50? Have you seen Psalm 50? He said, when you saw a thief, you went and... Okay, you don't know why God is going to judge Nigeria and the Nigerian church. You think it's one reason? They steal from God's sheep. Then they support thieves. You haven't read Isaiah? When we read Isaiah chapter 1 to chapter 3, you haven't heard what God says about people that support thieves? You think I am doing political campaign here? God sees my heart. I don't have a voter's card. Okay, you know that, right? You know, I have not told any of you to go and get. You know, I'm not planning to vote. And I have not told any of you, go and vote. Now, don't be angry with me. You should vote if you can, if it will be worth anything. I heard on radio in the supermarket the other day, they said maybe for the first time there will be an election in Akwa Ibom State. Who knows what that means? Who has understanding of what that means? Excuse me, it's not the federal government that said it. It's Akwa Ibom radio station. And someone was talking that hopefully the INEC representative said that there will be real elections. And the person was saying that I hope for the first time there will be elections. Who knows why? Because in Akwa Ibom, it's official. The hypocrites that point at other people, how they rig elections. I went and voted in 2011. When I left that place, they said after I left that they came and took the ballot boxes and ran away. Shot in the air, took the boxes to, they told me the house they took it to and stamped their fingers all over. I have witnessed boxes going to houses and being stamped by a few people. Pa, 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 pa. It was normal. That's 50. When they saw a thief. Read verse 18. When you see a thief, you make friends with him and you associate with adulterers. That's God's opinion. Do you know what God said will happen? Can you go down? What did God say he will do? I already said it earlier. Let's read. You unleash your mouth for evil and harness your tongue for deceit. Pause. That's what I've been complaining about since. You can't be a Christian and use your mouth to unleash evil. God has shown us Christians creating evil in the land by constantly telling lies. The way the Lord said it, he said, even where there's no evil, they create the evil by repeating it. So you see, Islamization, Islamization, Islamization. And the churches are growing bigger. Where's the Islamization? How many people have become Islam? How many people have they rounded up and made Muslims? How many of you have heard it? Where? When you sang it like a song and it didn't happen, you said they will force people to become Muslims. But it has not happened. You said they will pass laws that will make the country more Islamic. It has not happened. You lied. You're a liar. You lied. When you do that, Christians especially, you are using your tongue for deceit. I don't care why you lied. The thing is, you lied. Lying is lying. What did God promise to all liars? The lake of fire. Revelation 21. It's not my opinion. You don't ever lie. Don't lie against your worst enemy. Simply don't lie. Tell the truth always. You sit maligning your brother, slandering your mother's son. I want the end. You have, this is where I was going. Listen to God's opinion. You have done these things and I kept silent. You thought I was just like you, but I will rebuke you and lay out the case before you. Did you see the case? Have you seen the case? I told you it's a case. I told you it's law. But it's law in the realms of heaven. Satan will bring something against you and he will win. Everyone that tells lies and lies against people and makes friends with thieves. You saw a thief. You went and made friends with him. Do you know we saw Atiku before he was ever nominated? Do you know? And we saw the church go and shake hands with him. We went for a program. And one of the people we were with was sitting there and was seeing visions. And saw it was an animal. And the church went and shook hands and they entered into agreement. So when I saw it on the papers, I was saying, see, if you were there, you're there. You're not there, you're not there. It's recorded. We have, this is not, if I'm lying, I mean, why would I lie? We didn't know who. Didn't we have hopes for all sorts of other people to run for president? This is June, July. When did they nominate him? Around what month? October. We saw this in June, July. We saw the body of Christ. They went and shook hands with a beast. It was like a lion. Then the beast turned around and went and shook hands with a bear. See, the Bible says that God reveals his secrets to those who fear him. Now, of course, if you were around, not the pits. We had prayed about Nigeria and asked him about the elections officially for the first time on May 1st, 2018. May 1st, it was a public holiday. And we said, let's come together. Just the prayer team. and we got together and prayed. And in the process of praying about some other things, we asked God, tell us about the presidential elections. What do you want? What may happen? Maybe someday we'll read some of it, okay? Just for fun. Or let's wait for elections to finish. Or we put it in your box. We put it into your email. We could do something. Because God didn't tell us to share those things, per se. So we just refer to it here and there. But we could put it in PDF, lock it, send it to your email addresses, leave it there. After elections, we'll give you the password. Would that prove something to you? That would be a nice thing to do, right? Lock it, send to you. So you know we can't fake it now. Then when the time comes, we give you the password. Except that I don't know how much peace there will be, because there might be too much trouble to be thinking of these kinds of things. But minus anything else, just for the fun of it. Okay? We'll do something interesting. Plenty words. Now, we had a lot on different things, but we asked him. And we've had many more since then. Even when we are not asking at all, he's showing us things, and he has shown us many things. And a lot of it is not clear. And usually, things are not clear. Most of the things I saw about Buhari in 2011, 2014, like in 2011, I saw him becoming president. And the way it was said was he was given what he was deprived of. And I explained it some weeks ago. He was deprived of presidency, of ruling the nation in 1985. He was deprived with a coup. And I saw in 2011 that he was given what he was deprived of. But do you know what happened when I had this dream in 2011? Some days later, Jonathan became president. I was like, oh, it didn't make sense. At that time, I didn't understand that God usually speaks of things far ahead of time. I didn't understand. It's not, but everything I've seen came to pass. Everything. I saw them say, Buhari is dead. Buhari is dead. Buhari is dead. In 2014, that come to pass. 2017. And we've seen assassination attempts, which I don't know if you've prayed about officially, but make sure you pray against it. We've seen assassination of 10. We've been seeing that since I saw that in 2016 or 2015, 2016. And others have seen it too. Thereafter, we've seen assassination attempts. We've seen him afraid. We've seen him exposed. We've seen different things. But the more important thing is that we know he was in God's time, doing God's will. We also know that the Church of God has held the exact opposite opinion. I'm not surprised. They killed Jesus. So they are known for being wrong, out of point, the same way they are wrong with money, wrong with so many things. They are not going to be worshiping mammon and somehow hearing the secrets of God. How? On what basis will God talk to them? They won't be the first set of religious people that are wrong. They have a habit. See, when you don't follow God faithfully, you constantly be fighting God in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, but I'll rebuke and lay out the case before you. That's what he promised them. He said, understand this. After saying all this, you who forget God, or I will tear you apart and there will be no rescuer. And God has been talking to us about tearing things apart. We are not called to, don't be on the wrong side. That's why I share this. I could know it myself, like I knew in 2015. I could know things. You know, this year's one, I'm not sure of anything, because we've been shown the two sides. We showed the church supporting this animal. It was an animal. It was in the shape of animal. In December, I was seeking God personally. God knows I didn't mention anything about Nigeria. And I saw Atiku in some toilet that used that. Well, one toilet, you know. A different, you know, very fine. It's like he spent so much money. Ah, it's evil to have that kind of toilet. And he was showing something on a tab. And it was like his house. They're seeing his house. And there was this massive snake. And then this beast, this animal, greenish. It looked like a cross between, the back was slimmer, not as big as a hippopotamus, but the face, almost like a hippopotamus, but with teeth as long as my fingers. It was so scary, scary looking and beast like this. And he was poking it, and he wasn't too sure of what we thought about it as we were looking at it, you know. What did Bakari tell me again? And Tunde Bakari was there in that thing, and he told him, Atiku, you know they go anywhere. But I don't know if he was saying it like, you dig ground, right? You know how you could say, you know they go anywhere. You know that could mean like, you dig, come where? Huh? On the other hand, it could literally mean, you're not going anywhere. But of course, if you were here, when was it? By October, we saw him swinging upside down like this. Him and Kankwaso. We saw him on a pipe and his legs, you know, like that. What does he mean? I don't know. Because we've also seen all these things where the church entered agreement, and when he entered, then he changed color and became something else. I hope he won't be that one. And sometimes prayer can tilt things as well. But I had peace when God told us, he said, I'm in charge of Nigeria. Don't worry. I'll handle everything. So it doesn't matter what happens. I'm not bothered. All of it will work together for good to those who love God. So your focus must be on loving God. Always focus on loving God. Not on being on a side. The only reason I'm sharing these things, and I'm sharing it as elections are very close, so at least you remember I said it. So you don't say, because in past years, when they come to pastor, I look pastor, I mean, 2015, I didn't have anybody to discuss with. Nothing. I just knew the things God showed me. I didn't have anyone to tell. I mistakenly asked someone a question. If you see the anger, see sweet Christians, like they have demons. And then when it comes to pass the way you saw, they are angry and they say, you made it happen. And I'm wondering, small me, I have power to make things happen like this. I was not even pastoring that. I had paused. Wow. Christianity. The Bible says, okay, you're going to read the question, that he will tear them apart and nobody will rescue them. Why? Because when they saw thieves, they went and... how many of you heard Nigerians say, bring our corruption back? And they think it's a joke. Judge, see, I don't... Oh, God. Just that we have family, you know. Oh, Jesus. That's why the longer I live, the older I am becoming, not as per age, but say, the more I'm getting close to God, the more I'm walking with God, the more truthful I'll be. There are people I'll tell, sir, for your own good, please. I'd rather you don't talk to me about these things at all. If you talk to me about it, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'll tell you what God has shown me in Revelations. Are you ready to receive? Because if you give me your own, I'll give you my own. Other than that, leave it alone. Don't raise it. You can't be a Christian leader and you're false in, you're false out, and you criticize the Pharisees. Why do you criticize the Pharisees? You're exactly, you love money as you are, so you love money. You're more dishonest than Muslims. You're bad. You steal. Why do you have so much money? Where do you get it from? Your salary cannot afford this life you're living. You're doing crooked things. Then you attack someone that is more righteous than you. Don't attack people that are more righteous than you. Remove first the plank log from your eye. Then go and look for... Oh, see a speck. Do you see? He didn't perform well in debate. Because there's no law that a king should be good at talking. Is there a law like that? Go and search. When you find it, come and tell me. That there's a law that a king can speak well. No. What is the law for the king? He should take care of the poor. So if you have someone that is feeding millions of school children, I was in barbing saloon, and this NSCDC man said that we don't need free feeding here. That is in the north, they need that. I was so incensed that I raised my voice more. I know they were cutting here and generator was on, but I had to get him here. I said, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. We are involved in a school outreach. Children come there and they haven't eaten, and they are 11 years old, 10 years old, and they are hungry, and you're teaching and the child is crying. And you're like, why are you crying? And they have ulcers. We have children stay away for days. Why didn't you come to school? My stomach, ulcer. He has ulcers from hunger. You cannot tell me that feeding that child once every day in school is not a glorious thing. It is. Children adding weight. 2 million more children have gone back to school in the last 3 years plus. 2 million, Nigeria. Is that a small thing? Why do you think they went? Because they go to school in some of those schools, including in a school in a PDP state. And I'm not pro-party or anything. But feeding children, or feeding people, children in schools, 9 million, and you're hearing people say, till now. How many of you have heard people say it's a lie? People are wicked. People are very bad people. Something that the evidence is excess. All you have to do is enter a car and drive down to one of those schools, and there's one near you somewhere. You're still lying. Saying it's a lie. The children that are eating don't think it's a lie. How many? Hundreds of thousands of people. I've heard people say, Shopee. This Shopee, I was working then. Our office used to take Shopee people. Total number was 50,000 people. This one, the first batch of people they took was 500,000. They took 300, then they took 200,000 people. How can you compare 10 times? Take note, the money the other government made was 430 something billion from oil. This government has made 93 billion from oil. How does this one use so little to do so much? And the other one had so much and did so little. And we are discussing fairness. It's called justice. And some people complain. He's giving the money and some people say they are dashing those people the money. At least they dash people they don't know. They didn't dash their brothers. They dashed everybody across the nation. It's justice. Let them chop Nigeria's money too. Whether they work hard or not, at least they shared it across to Nigerians. They didn't give it to one man. They gave it to millions of people. Isn't that a blessed thing? That's called justice in God's eyes. That's called helping the poor. And God always blesses people for blessing the poor. It's a principle because kings are meant to take care of the poor. That's what we read. We went through the verses in the scriptures. So stop asking. Don't ask. Don't be asking questions like, he has this plan, that plan. He did this, he did that. No, everything you say is conjecture. Say the one you're sure of. Prove it, stand. Don't ever, you know, you still have a long future. You guys are going to be involved in many elections. I'm giving you rules. I said this the other week. For electing, whether in another country, always look for the person that does the thing closest to what God requires of the person. Do you understand? Never look at sentiments. Never look at where they are from. Never look at religion. Because God never looks at any of that. You have the Bible to back it up. Always look at how they treat the poor. Always look at how they treat the needy. Always look at how they handle justice. You've never had them go after so many corrupt people like now. And people are busy complaining how they haven't gone after all the corrupt people. I've told you, David did not go after all the corrupt people. God himself has not gone after all the bad people. But you've never had them go after so many bad people. Even the first time he was president, he went after bad people, locked them up. It doesn't matter where they were from. He went after, till today, people are saying he's going after Southerners only. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have seen the list of people that have actually been gone after? The actual list. North and South, whose names are more? I think there are more Northern names on that thing than the South. A newspaper article posted the people that Hausa names fill the thing. All those things are only, it's a lie. People lie with no shame. Do you know why? They know Nigerians will not go and cross check. They just know. So someone will come out plainly and post a lie. They know you will not check it. And therefore you go and repeat the lie. How many lies have I heard repeated? Someone told me N-Power is not real. That government has not taken a single toll in N-Power after they had taken 500,000. And I looked at him and I said, what are you saying? Many years ago, N-Power started. I called my sister, who is from Akwa Ibom State. How many of you realize my sister would be from Akwa Ibom State? Huh? I have a sister. She lives in Abuja, but she's from Akwa Ibom State. Hallelujah. Her name, her husband is from Akwa Ibom State. That sister of mine. I told her, they are doing this thing. Send your passport. If you know how they register for it, passport, scan of your certificate. That's all. Whatever. Put it. Bah. They called her. That's why when she got her first salary, she said, I'm sending you my tithe. And she sent it to me. And they pay her regularly. She doesn't know nobody. And I know many others. They don't know nobody. There was no connection. There was nothing. They gave those jobs to everybody. Why do you now accuse them of? It's called justice. You're doing what is fair. If you're crushing the wheel over bad people, a king is meant to find bad people and go after them. And he has faithfully been going after bad people. He has not gone after many. Because there are too many. Don't you guys know in the Nigeria that is coming that they will go after Atiku? You don't know. It seems there are many things you don't know. You see all these people that have destroyed Nigeria? They will be gone after. No, it's a matter of time. According to scripture, you go after them in phases. I told you, David did not kill Joab. He could not. Why? Joab was the one that helped him become who he was. That's in your Bible. It's wrong. There's a law that stops you from doing certain things. But he told Solomon on his deathbed, make sure Joab does not escape. We have seen revelations of your president being compelled, being told by people in Agbada's around, sign this thing. and he resisted. We've seen multiple in office, and some he's crying, and seen him on planes, and he's like, some of it shaking his head and saying, don't worry, it will soon be over. Don't worry. We saw this long ago, to me first, I think. He said, don't worry, it will soon be over. Don't worry. I was in South Africa for a conference in 2016, and the person said that the president, he was newly a president. His hands are chained, but after a certain amount of time, he's going to break free, and he's going to do fully what God has called him to do. And in 2015, I had seen him chained, 2015, long ago. I don't know if he was president then, before or after. Chained. And it's like he was released. And he was like, and he was crying for joy, like someone that had been in bondage. Because he was, in the beginning of that, he was chained to something. And he was free. I saw these things without any news, any information. I can't throw away what God has shown me. You don't throw away what God has told you now. You act based on it. So I've expected him to do better. And in the meantime, I have no pleasure in criticize. Criticize for what? The Bible says, do not speak against the king and God. That's why Jonathan, in spite of all the corruption that reigned in his time, while I would say what is happening in his time is wrong, especially because people were acting like nothing is bad, but I cannot abuse him. I hear people say he's clueless. No, don't talk like that. You don't speak like that about your leader. You don't insult them, even if they are very bad. You don't. God says you should not. So you don't. These are scripture. Except you're not born again. Except you're just a sinner. But even if you're a sinner, that's like saying, okay, because you're not a Christian, you should commit adultery. When the husband catches you, you know how far. May they not pour acid down your neck. I hope that's not a warning for anybody. Read the question.
On abortion, what happens when, as a medical practitioner, they are made to choose between saving the mother and saving neither mother nor baby?
Wow, savior of the world.
Do you let them both die? Is it a sin to save the mother by aborting the baby?
Lay hands, pray. I thought life is in God's hands. All these stories that people have told about saving the mother's life. Did I tell you a story 2 weeks ago about that lady that they said that if the child is not aborted, that she will die? Did I tell you the story here? The woman that, the girl that disappeared when they killed everybody and the girl disappeared through the door in Austria in the time of the Second World War. Did the mother die? Did the child die? That's why doctors need to be born again. The choice of saving who, saving what, saving... Blah, 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 blah. But lay your hands and say, in Jesus' name, every umbilical cord tied around any neck, you should not untie in Jesus' name. Can angels put in their hands and do anything?
Yes.
Be determining who lives and dies. Who are you? Cut it out. Saving what life? Have miracles not occurred even amongst people that don't even know God? You see, when your teacher is godless, you students, don't ever go along with that. Don't ever kill anybody. Don't. Just leave it. Except you're a soldier with a gun fighting battles. But to tell me that it was a mother's life on the, I don't know where life comes from apart from God. Speak life to that mother. Oh, it's like she couldn't breathe again. People have died and come back. Yes? So I don't know how they know. How do you know someone? Where are those medical people? How do you know they will die? That is, they must die. It's a choice between saving. How? You got a memo from God. How? Tell me. Blood loss. There's no blood to put sticking and keep putting inside. It's not possible. With God. Say it well. Tell all these medical people. With God, things are possible. In case they didn't hear well, one more time. All things are possible to those who
believe.
Did I tell you we need more believers as doctors? Okay, I hope you understand now. You can be deciding, feeling like God. Dr. Snitch. Dr. Longnose, yes. To save the life of the mama, I think the child will have to go, yes? Yes. Okay. So what do? You cut up the baby inside the womb. Chokers. Keep your hand to yourself. Pray in the spirit. You shall live. You shall not die. You declare the glory of God. And bring out that child, mother and child, safely alive in Jesus' name. I feel like praying for medical people that a baby should never die in your hand. No baby should ever die in your hand. Or mother. No patient should die under your hand in Jesus' name. Be known as the miracle doctors. Now, keep following Jesus. Ordinary non-medical personnel raise people from the dead. You, how much more? You're right in the basket of trouble. It is the last days now. This is what we are living for. Sister, next question.
About the issue of clothing, we've been taught extensively in this house that clothing should be modest first and affordable for you. But in a situation where in a Christian home, where they can afford a certain quality of clothes, is it okay that one of the help looks more shabby and stands out because her clothing is of less quality than the others in that home?
So what's wrong with you organizing your clothing for that shabby maid? That help. Organize your clothing now. Encourage you, at least you have nice clothes. So you can afford. Your family is giving you nice clothes, okay? So let it reach the other person. We are not the same size. Adjust it. Let it reach them. Isn't that even what normally sisters do and family do? You share clothes. You pass clothes down. You know, you swap, you exchange, you give. I see my wife giving people clothes. Some of them, I don't know. I think they give away clothes as if the clothes is itching them. Even me, sometimes I'm quarreling. I may not say it out. In fact, let me quarrel now and judge. Why do you give out that clothes? Why? I like that clothes. I've seen clothes on people and I go like, and I'm thinking she gave it to them because they came to stay in the house. And they say, auntie gave me. I'm like, okay. Being their pastor, you go like, all right, yeah. We agreed that we'll be giving out. Inside me, I'm like, it's my wife, man. I mean, I really like that clothes. And it happens different times, not once or twice. I know she'll tell me, but you have done the same too. So, you know. So, is equal, but how is worse than mount, I think. All right, so, I think that answer is easy, right? You be a blessing to the help. You be a blessing to everyone. Okay, what does the Bible say? If your brother has no clothes and you have two, do what? Give him one. Now, the Bible doesn't say you should have too many clothes, okay? So, I'm not saying the person does not have clothes. It doesn't mean you have to have an equal number of clothes at all. If the person has enough clothes to meet their needs, fine. But if you know you have nice clothes, if you only wait till your clothes is shabby before you give, well, I don't know. You should be able to give because of need too. Someone should be able to come and they have a need. It's obvious they have a need. You just give it to them, okay? You give it to them. You look at them and say, this clothes will fit this person more than me. Or this person does not have enough nice clothes. I have 10 nice clothes. I have 5 nice clothes. This person doesn't even have 1 very nice clothes for going for occasions. Even if you love this clothes like you die, which I hope is not true. You should not love any material thing like that. Carry it. And say, where this clothes? Let me see how it will look on you. And if it looks nice, just go. It's okay, you can keep it. And the person is shocked. You may have gotten it newly. It may be new. Okay? Now, if your mother just gave it to you last week, I wouldn't advise you to do that. You might have family problems. But some of the older, former clothes or the ones you don't wear more, you've had it. You may have even gotten from the beginning and kept it purposely for 1 month or two, purposely, and given it out. You say, this clothes is so nice, but I have clothes already. I have nice clothes. Let me give it to half young man. I hope you understand. That's how it should be. I don't think it's bad to feel uncomfortable with having too many nice things. I normally feel uncomfortable. I have too many nice things and someone is around me that doesn't have. Give. Something I don't notice or I don't realize or I don't. Or again, there are different factors to weigh. But that you have 5 of something and another person has 0 of it. The Bible says don't do it. No, don't do it. But if the person has, maybe the person has changes of clothes. We've discussed that. The person has 5 changes, 10 changes of clothes, and you have 25. And that's the person is not in need. The person is just has less. In fact, both of you have too much. You have to pass it to someone else somewhere that has need. All right, now I'm not saying you should leave here and feel too guilty. I won't say you shouldn't feel guilty, but not too guilty. But discuss it with God, and we've discussed it many times. And many people here have given away clothes. They've given us, we've given it to the people in the school we cater to. We've even given it out to people. This household. Families share clothes. I know sometimes that people have said they want to give, but they are afraid that others may not want to receive because they seem as if you're saying they don't have. And I'm like, I don't have time for that kind of pride. Is that how families behave? Is that how families behave? How many of you have older sisters or younger sisters? How many of you know that according to the unwritten law of the universe, that clothes must move? Abba! Even me, I had five sisters. We observed this thing. Clothes must move. Amen. Sometimes younger sis looks at it, even and you look at it, and they don't even give you. You receive it. Yes? What is it, sister? You have too many clothes. This is your bank job. See clothes now. Like 50 corporate clothes. Pick five. Send them an SMS telling them you took it. I'm not involved, though. But I'm really serious. What is all this holding on to things? Huh? In the first place, I didn't even support anyone having too many things. Why do you have too many things? Take that money and give in church. People are hungry. Yes? Yeah. Why do you go and buy another coat for 15,000 naira? Why? 10,000, 5,000. Why do you buy another one? You already have. You're covered. So, yes. Next.
Lead a peaceful
Is it wrong to lead a peaceful protest?
Is it wrong to lead a peaceful protest against government policies?
No, it's not. If there's a policy, that's a peaceful protest. Do you remember Martin Luther King Jr.? I'm not saying what he did was all in the scripture, but that's what he did. They would slap them and they wouldn't fight back. He insisted. Did he succeed? Yes. He changed the law in America. Do you remember Gandhi? Yes. Non-violent protest. Okay? It is. And it provided that policies. Good. Now, since we're in a democracy, you can do that. If it's in an autocracy, you get killed for it, yes, or in prison. You'll be considered a rebel. But thank God for democracy, a little. You can now make your voice heard. You could write the papers. You could go to a media outlet. You could go and stand in front of the gate. Sometimes leaders don't even know what's happening. Do you know? Have you been a leader before? Sometimes leaders don't even know what the issue is. So sometimes people act like leaders know everything. Leaders don't know everything. Okay? What else? Next question.
Please, sir, concerning the case of not wanting to join the Babylonian system, but whenever you go home, you have no choice than to join your parents to a congregation where all these bad stuff are being done. What can I do? I strongly feel that their bad actions always join in ruining my work with God during holidays.
Yeah. I know this is common for many. What did I do? I'm not saying what I did was the best, but I know, thank God, my dad used to travel many times to the village since he was a chairman of the village, the church council, and other times he was involved in other things, so he used to travel a lot. So even as far back as the 80s, when my mom would start sneaking for fellowship, I had a little sister. My dad comes back and she goes like, we went to, and she just let the cat out of the bag. You know, all these 3-year-olds, 4, they don't know anything. They don't know when to talk and when not to talk. But we pray, we could have prevented that. And that was the only time I saw my parents have problems, serious problems, you know, anger, issues, trouble. It happened then later on, continue, because my mom wouldn't want to go and all that. We were too young to be held accountable for that, but we follow her to, you know, fellowship, you know, see the power of God at work, presence, very different from Roman Catholic service. Any which way, it didn't make me born again, so I wasn't still born again, I was young. But a time came when I was older, like secondary school, we used to have visiting day. When I went to secondary school, visiting day was on Sunday, you know, and the idea is that they might ask you, how was church today? So I remember that first visiting day, I went to mass, because visiting days was on Sunday. But you know, I think that was the first and last. They changed visiting day from Sunday to Saturday. And thereafter, it means I could never be asked once a month where I went to church. Nobody's going to think about that when coming to school. And thank God my dad hardly ever came. My mom, of course, did not want me to go. So I would attend protesters. I was a full Protestant chapel person. I was fully involved in the fellowships on Saturday and everything. So throughout my secondary school, I had no qualms. When we're at home and he goes for all his meetings, in the village, we will go, leave the house. I literally remember leaving the house, going, we will go, all sorts, Redeemed, Revival Valley, just some other church, but definitely not Roman Catholic Church, you know. And I remember as we are coming back, this is the Roman Catholic Church, St. Paul's, and I put my leg. So if they ask, did you go? I'll say I went. All right, that's a real story. My story. Real stuff like that. But we simply didn't go. We would never go. We would avoid going. If he's around and he compels us, we'll go along. I mean, I got baptized there. I attended catechism classes. First Holy Communion, did all of that. You know, what does it take? Just repeat what you're told. The day I got baptized, I committed sin. I mean, you mix everything. It doesn't mean nothing. Nothing. What's the issue? If it's now, what would I do? I don't know. When I grew up, by the time I was in university, he still was. But he more or less had let us be. Because he knew. I mean, he was born again. He knew. It was just pride and all these things people do. Pride and all that. And eventually, God won you. I mean, I remember my mom saying, let's pray and fast. Your dad. It was a Wednesday. And we fasted. By Thursday, Friday, God was talking to him full blast. He traveled on a job thing, came back. I mean, Jesus was talking to him. He said, Jesus came and stood by his bed. He was talking to him. And he was saying, which church will I go to? And Jesus said, what do you mean by church? There's only one church. My people are everywhere. And told him things. And we were having in the church we were attending a prophetic school of prophets thing. And he came. You know, oh, I didn't tell you how he left. They kicked him out. Trouble. It's not hard now. See trouble. I was there. I mean, I'm robbers. The first they took his car. I'm robbers. We were robbing. They caught up. We were with him. We went to the farm. I was in university. And they took the car and drove from here to there. It was my mom's official car. The car broke down there. From here to there, it stopped working. I'm robbers that had robbed a bank. So they stopped another car and took and succeeded. He came to the farm. He said, you see what happened? But I'm rushing for a village, a church council meeting in the headquarters in my local government. You people will come later. He left us. Next thing we know is that the police on the road arrested him, dragged him out of the car, shot the tire of the car, so it would seem as if they stopped armed robbers. This is the car they radioed us that they used to, they are robbers. Do you understand? Do you understand? Remember, the robbers took his car first from the bank. So they were on the lookout for that. Now, of course, God has said, which car? This is my daughter's car. You're not touching it. Stop the car. When he entered and started, he started one handle. Not that the car had any problem. And God stopped it. You know, he was still trying to go for this council meeting, church council meeting. That's how they manhandled him. He left there. When I borrowed my uncle's boss's Beetle, we drove it from there. The axle cracked like this into two. But you know, people that, you know now, you know yourself, talk does not, you don't hear easily. By the time the bishop called him later and they kicked him up, they removed him from 30. That is not too hard. Some of you, because you haven't been serious, you serve, you don't know what you are. You stand before God properly and tell your friend, a friend or two, come, let's agree that God will change things in this family. I don't want to be attending this church anymore. Do you know what God can? He can do many things. I know a man that used to be in, he's dead now. He used to be in the occult or amok or whatever he was in. And then his wife would go to fellowship church, come back, he would lock her outside. One day he had a dream. In it, rapture happened. God grabbed him, grabbed the housemaid. And he's like, this housemaid, this girl that is that does not do things well. He said, but she's my daughter. Took them, and warned him. I don't even an angel. Told him, if you ever touch my daughter, if you ever. That's the last. He used to beat up his wife. Before he died, he was a very big man in the state. That's how he repented. You think God lacks ways? Let me tell you my greatest problem. I don't even, I haven't told you before. The greatest problem I have with some of you don't care. Everything is okay. You're just fine. Fight. My eldest sister, he stopped paying her fees in university. She used to be hungry. He cut her off. Bah! She suffered. Because she fought and paid that price, it was easier for us. It was pain. There was trouble. My mom had wahala. I'm not saying maybe my mom should have gone along. I don't know. But at least her fight yielded good for us all. Here we are today now. He followed us. I heard him say it with his mouth. He said, even if the Pope leaves, I will never leave. Imagine people that talk. He said, even if the Pope leaves the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope, me, I will never leave. That's determination. The Pope is still there. He left. Because he had family members that said, God, please, enough now. He saw Jesus in a vision, leaving. In a car, and someone in the car with his brethren in charismatic renewal, and someone saying, nobody can be holy. And this man in white sitting in the back, not saying anything as they're talking. But the moment someone said, nobody can be holy, the man in the back of the car went, what do you mean? My word says, be holy as I'm holy. Why would you say no one can be holy? Is my word false? And in fact, I'm leaving. And he knew it was the Lord. He said, Lord, please don't leave. And he came up. He said, come, let me show you. We took him behind an altar. He said, look here. and it was a rubbish dump. He said, look there. Look at what they are doing. And what you see from the front is a neat altar with the priest standing there. And under it, behind, was filth. He said, look at what they are doing. These are my own dad's own experiences. I'm not telling something from a book. I heard him telling this story through a door to his group of charismatic renewal people, fellow Catholics. And he said, Lord, please don't leave. He said, I'm leaving. And ascended. He left. In other words, that was his cue, leave. All this happened before these other things I said. That was God saying, it is time. Yes. God used him there. No joke. God used him in the Roman Catholic Church. They used to heal, sick, cast out demons, all sorts of things. Who knows about charismatic renewal? Huh? They speak in tongues. They don't emphasize Mary. It was the breath of the Holy Spirit that began to move in the Roman Catholic Church from 1978. It was God. Many Catholics got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Their lives changed. But what do you do when you keep mixing with nonsense, lies, falsehood, idolatry? You think you can mix that wine? It won't work. When God comes to a dirty place and finds you and cleans you, the next thing you have to do is what? Leave. He said, come out from her and be separate. Then you say, no, I'm going to stay here. That's why everyone, we've had many people come into this place. The power of God comes on their life, they change. Then they go back to their system. Then they become like it again. I have seen that for nearly 30 years. You can't tell me that you're going to stay in the midst of mud and stay clean. It doesn't work. No matter how sincere or clean you were. I am not saying you cannot enter. When I used to go to the village, the church we used to go was a Catholic church. Except once or twice I went to some other church. You know, the Catholic church in the village. But I'll sit there and read my Bible throughout. So I don't know about affecting me. I'll sit there, read my... the first time I read a whole book of the Bible at one sitting, the book of Hebrews, was in a Roman Catholic church in my village. I sat at the back and I entered the Bible. I was gone. Service ended. I got up. It was delicious. I loved it. I wish I could have more opportunities. You know, when I come here, I have to be involved. Give me a dead church and give me a Bible. I'm in heaven. It's because some of you don't know how to survive. Give me a dead church and give me a Bible. What's bound? Just don't sit near your parents. Sit somewhere in a corner. Cut off. Be gone. Be in it. Before you leave, you have achieved major achievements for the kingdom of heaven. Are you understanding this? There are so many ways. Pray in the spirit. People are praying. You know, some of our people was telling me how in their church to be praying in tongues. And they are anti, the preacher is anti-tongues and all that. She's even shy, but there are people that will pray loudly that don't agree. And the preacher will be preaching against it. Do what you need to do, people. There are so many ways to fight, but among them is pray for change of heart. For even the heart of the king is in God's hands. Okay? You have a book, you see something that is not, you drop it, let them see. An anti this thing, a book that points out the error. That's why you have to pray for God to give us money and ability and time to print many of our tracts. And drop those tracts, let them see, let them read it. Let them read it. They have a conscience. God will be using it and stabbing them. But some people, you hide everything. Your parents don't know you're different in any way. You want to pray in the spirit, you hide. Let them know, like one father that called me, of other people in Port Harcourt. And said, my name is, you know, I don't understand. My son has been raised a Catholic. Introduction. And then, you know, and now I hear him saying, speaking one language I don't understand. And the boy was sick and he refused to take medication. Before you guys left on holiday that day, I was preaching. You know, the Holy Ghost always gives expo. And then I said, listen to me. You grow gradually in faith, in sickness. If you're sick, if you want to practice growing faith with sickness, don't go and start practicing at home with your parents. How many of you heard when I said it one time? This was 2 weeks later. He went home, got sick, and started practicing. So the father said, let me have your pastor's number. I don't understand why you won't take me. I was like, where I called him later, I said, Bernard. I'm revenging now. Let me call his name. So it will be on permanent record. I said, what did I tell you? Then I preached towards the very end. I told you, it's not home. It's not the first time you want to practice faith for healing. You don't practice it with your parents at home. I've told you at that time, 10 years or more, or 12 or 15 years of not taking medication, the few times I took, one, two times I took, is because I was at home. Because your parents will not allow there to be peace in the universe. Yes? Are you going to say, no! Jesus said. You can't say that because Jesus did not say it like that. So you can't. It's not that. Is it that you shall marry him? You said, no. Not in this age. Not in the age to come. You can't force me to marry an unbeliever. You can't make me do that kind of thing. My conscience is involved. Do you understand this? All right. So it depends on the situation. Depends on the situation. But I would say you should pray. And some of you have not fought at all. We have people here, many, that fought directly. Their parents said they will stop sending them to school. I don't try to force because people have faith at different levels. But you've heard many testimonies here of people that said no. And their parents said they would disown them. And they were like, okay, I'll be a disowner. And their parents did not disown them. And their parents have left them alone. In fact, we have some of them. Their parents now send prayer requests to us. Hallelujah. To this church. They send prayer requests to us. What if you had given up and gone back? We've had other people too. The slightest threat, bah, they ran away as if fire was released from a machine gun. They ran away. And you wonder why. The reason is that some people have, you know, more, I don't know. I try not to force it so you don't carry guilt, strong guilt. But I would think, that you may have to fight. You may have to fight a little. When your parents know that some of our people, their parents have looked at them and wonder, so you're willing to give up your academics for this, your church? And they're like, yes. So their parents go like, you're truly crazy. And left them alone. You will be tested for it to be known if what you have, whether you die for it. What will now happen? I have a simple question to ask you. If you can't endure small pain and offending your parents, what will happen when they are holding a gun in front of your face and saying, deny Jesus or live? Which is going to happen all over this earth again. What will you now do? You say, deny, Nana, deny sins. Who you say might deny again? G, who be G? How do you pronounce it? G. Jesus. Who is that? Now from your side or my side? Some people deny him that fast. Don't you know people have denied Jesus many times? Because they never learn to fight for anything. They care about physical things. You care so much about your physical condition. So you refuse to fight for anything. God forbid that we will train you to be so. But on the other hand, I won't push you. That's why we don't push. We just tell you, you read the stories of others, you read your Bible, then make your own choice. Amen? I'm sure you've heard the testimonies a few times. You've had different people in this house. And the parents get so mad. We've had parents disowning or claiming to disown their children. Because of this place. What did the child do? Nothing. The child was bad and is now good. The parents don't care. All they care is that you're not in our church anymore. It doesn't matter if you're going to hell using the vehicle of our church. Just stay in this bus. This bus is going to hell. I agree. But don't drop me. I'll jump like in an American movie and roll. Jump and roll. Okay? So that's my answer. It's not a fixed answer because not everything has a fixed answer. I don't want to bind you to condemnation. But I would suggest you fight a little. Because till you fight. There are some people here right now. They are fighting right now. Right now. You wouldn't know. You see them come. You won't know. You won't have any idea what they are going through. Because of wanting to love God and follow him sincerely. You just have to use your Bible. Your Bible is enough. Your Bible has enough stories. Yes.
Vice President's helicopter crashed yesterday. Everyone survived. But no one was injured.
Yes.
In fact, the VP left there and continued on his campaign trail. I'd like us to thank God for everyone.
We thank God. Amen. How many of you heard it? I heard it here. When we finished praying, I didn't know. When we finished praying, something said, check for breaking news, check for breaking news. So I typed in breaking news. I saw 2 hours ago, Vice President's helicopter crashes in Kogi State. And nobody is hurt. He comes out, does what he wants to do. They enter an hour flight. Came and traveled to another state and continued like nothing they happened. Because God is good. That's all. Oh, thank God. All right, we are going to the table. Now, why do we break bread? I don't have time to explain it. Take too long. The summary of why we break bread is not magic. It's not a magic potion. It's not another Christian juju. You know God is bringing judgment on idols in the body of Christ. You see all that Christian juju. But if you have any bangle, any wristband, with any name of anything to wear as protection, you better remove it. You better not wear those things. You better not have a picture of anybody you hang. Better not even talk about TB Joshua's signature or any of that. That one, you're just pure witchcraft. They are monitoring you, fool. Not to talk about pictures. Don't do those things. Now, if you have just a plastic wristband that says, hey, man, I don't care. But if you're doing protection, God, you're an idolater. Judgment is coming and all those things in this nation. Make sure you don't have any room for that. Don't. What you must do, rather, is walk in unity with your brethren. This is not an idol. This is not juju. This is one of two major sacraments, sacred acts that the Lord Jesus instituted. One was baptism. He said, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said we should do that. And another thing he said we should do was to break bread. He also told us to pray, but prayer has always been. He also told us to have fellowship. Now, this is one major way we fellowship with one another. When you break bread together, please get the messages from the past. I've explained it there. What happens is that you share in the grace of God in each other's lives. Yes, the Bible says it is one loaf. You need to read 1 Corinthians from chapter 8 to chapter 12 to understand it. And we've done that. So try and listen. So I want us to go to the table, not, as I said, a ritual, but rather in obedience. Like any other thing God says we should do, we are going to come in obedience. And when you come in obedience, God does what he says he will do. The only thing God warns us about is that you must not eat it unworthily. And the unworthily is to carry animosity, malice, pain, anger against your brethren and come to the table. It becomes a source of weakness, sickness, and death. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When you read it, all of this is there. Weakness, sickness, and death. So some people go to the table and eat judgment unto themselves. The safe way, like we did last month, and we said it, was make sure you had peace with amongst yourself. You have any challenge with someone, you've not resolved it, you go and resolve it even right now, before you come to the table. You know, someone said, you know, that they were repenting about this last time, and as they did, they saw a wall of blood come up, and it's like the bad things were being taken and thrown into the blood, and then the blood began to cover the whole floor of the warehouse. And all that. Whenever we obey God like that, God does what he says. When you ignore, you don't care. Like many churches, do you know why many churches have sickness and death? Go and tell them, in case you're from one, your parents attend one such, tell them, you can't be gossiping against your brother, sister. You hate them. You have this beef with them. At the same time, you do communion. The Bible promises you that you're eating judgment on your head. So don't do it. Instead, don't partake in the communion. Except by God's grace, that communion, God does not even recognize anything happening in that place. But if he does, so make sure you're at peace with one another. Make sure you've forgiven all done you. Make sure you hold nothing against your brother or your sister. That doesn't mean you've resolved but at least you say, Father, forgive this person. And if it's something, you go and talk to the person, I offended you, I am sorry. If you're wise, always do it every time. Be in that state. Because when we show up here, I hope I'll remember to be announcing it. It's not like the years before. We entered a new phase. This is a time where you touch that and bad stuff happens. And you wondering, you eat judgment. Please, we don't want anyone judged here, okay? Last time we asked for mercy, we prayed. That time we were praying, God was doing something. I think we shared some of it. Or I don't know if we did. But God was doing some very serious things. During that time, people were repenting here. Very serious things were happening. If we didn't do it, there might have been serious problems. Don't wait till you see before you believe.